Welcome to the No Filter Photography Podcast. I am your host, Ronnie Cook. Today we have another hometown photographer. She does landscape and portrait photography. Please help me welcome Nicole Anderson. And here's the interview. Photography Podcast, I have Miss Nicole Anderson here. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So, can you tell the audience a little more about yourself?
I guess I can. Yes. I am a 30-year-old mother of three boys who keep me really busy. I'm married to my husband. We've been married for 10 years. And as of right now, I am currently unemployed, but I spend a lot of time being busy during the day with my babies.
Oh, yeah, especially their boys.
Yes, it is crazy around here.
So, how did you get your start in doing photography?
Well, there's kind of a bit of a prequel to that. My sister, I'm a twin, and my twin sister, her name is Jessica, she began photography when we were about, 14 years old. So, she went to a garage sale. She found an old film camera. It was a Nikon. I can't recall what the actual camera was. I just remember it had a 45 on it. And she just started taking pictures of me all the time. Everywhere we went, everywhere we would go, if we traveled, she would just pull her camera out, start taking pictures. And I never really was interested. I never cared. I never wanted to do any photography. I was not artistic at that age. And surprisingly, since we're twins, you think we're very much alike, but we're completely different people. I had our second son in July of 2020, and my little COVID baby. And, basically I was just like, you know what? I think I'd like to start learning how to take pictures of the kids, because I feel like it's really important. And I grew up with so much pictures all the time, mom taking pictures, Jessica taking pictures. So I was like, I guess I should just get into that. So I bought a camera, a used camera from somebody on Facebook Marketplace. I actually had bought it. I bought it before I even had our middle son, when I was taking pictures of him. We were going on a trip to Scotland and I wanted to have really good pictures. So that kind of inspired me to also get a camera. So yeah, that's how I kind of started it.
So what kind of camera did you start out with?
So I still have the same camera. I bought a Nikon D700 on Facebook Marketplace, and that was in 2019. So I've had it for three years. And I just bought the body. So he had an extra lens laying around and he sold his lens to me. That was a 24 to 70 millimeter. And luckily I got that lens. I had no idea at the time when I bought the camera how magnanimous a 24 to 70 millimeter was until I started kind of playing around with it and learning about, you know, the different things that, what kind of lenses you can get, fixed lenses, portrait lenses, all the different things. I had no idea when I bought my camera. My sister had to teach me so much. It was a crazy lesson to learn.
Oh, I bet. So what did you start, when you first started taking pictures, what did you start taking pictures of?
So I had originally bought it to take pictures of the kids, but our first trip out of the country, I just started landscape pictures. I was doing landscape photography. We went to Scotland. I took I had two SD cards filled to the brim with pictures. I got back home and edited those the best of my ability at that time. And then I just started, every time we'd travel, because we travel a lot, I'd just start taking pictures. So basically I just started out as landscape. And that's how, you know, I kind of gotten into that. And I still am very passionate about landscape photography. So
do you do anything? Okay. So do you do landscape. Do you do anything else?
Yes. I actually own Life and Adventure Photography and Called Station. That I started last year, at the end of last year, an actual business for photography. That is family lifestyle and family portraits. Basically, just because I'm a stay-at-home mom and my husband, he works in the oil field, I figured, hey, you know what? When he's gone, I'll be able to, you know, kind of contribute a little bit. So I started that last year, and it's been pretty good. I like it so far. At first, I didn't know how to handle families, but again, my sister, who owns a photography business helped me navigate that. So yeah, on my free time, I do landscape, and on, you know, weekends, I usually have clients that I'm doing.
So how was your very first, for like not doing landscape, your very first client walking in, you know, to your studio? How did that day go?
So I'm a natural light photographer. I don't have a studio or anything, but that first encounter actually happened to be a friend of mine. So it was pretty easy going for me to take pictures of them and their kids. And then he shared the pictures and she was like, "Hey, you guys reach out to Nicole for pictures." And it just kind of blew up. And I just kind of started taking pictures of people. Everybody wanted pictures for Christmas. So I was like, okay.
Out here in Bryan, I do live in Bryan as well. What area is the best around? I do the same about a lot of landscape photography. So where would you recommend somebody to go to take good landscape pictures?
Oh goodness, Bryan. Even in Cold Station, Bryan, Lick Creek Nature Center, which is in Cold Station, is one of my favorite places to go. And Bryan, I'm trying to remember if I've been anywhere over there in a while. I don't know, but I've taken a lot of pictures downtown, and they are landscape, but it's more of a cityscape than it is, you know, country. And
yeah. And there's on Saturdays, I think there is a, farmers market out there downtown Bryan as well.
Oh yeah, I have not been over there in a long time, so I would love to go check that out.
You might be able to get some good pictures out of there too.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Actually, that sounds like a good idea. I might do that.
I usually go. I like this. It might sound a little weird, but I like going to. There's a place, or not a place, it's right down the road where I work at Lone Star, and the bridge that goes over it, I think it's 2818.
Yes.
That goes over Highway 6. I usually go over there. I would park my truck over on the side, like on the feeder part, and I'll walk over to the bridge. And I like to do it early in the mornings and to get that sunrise. And I usually can get some good pictures out of it. But last time, it was funny, I came home and told my wife, last time I went up there, I was just, you know, minding my own business. I had my phone up, you know, kind of do a behind the scenes kind of deal and my camera going. And all of a sudden, I saw something like do a U-turn. I was like, what the heck? And all of a sudden, I saw red and blue lights. I was like, oh, man. I was like, I'm not doing nothing. The only thing I have out here is a camera. So he was like, yeah, somebody called and said, you had a drone coming out here flying. I was like, I was thinking in my head, I have no drone. If you would see the drone, you would have seen it flying around or on the ground. And two, I tried flying one of those darn things, and I'm not the best at that.
I have always wanted a drone. I would do anything to get a drone, but the quality of them, it's like you have to buy the outrageously expensive ones to get the best quality, which really just blows, because it's not an easy feat on top of spending all that money to do it.
Yeah, and you can't really, when I lived in Houston, I tried to do it at my dad's house, and just so happened there was a airport near my dad's house, and like the drone will tell you cannot fly there. You cannot fly.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Actually, I'm sure you're familiar with Teeks, fire school here in the area, but they have a class for drone operating, and you have to have like a special license to operate certain drones. I actually was really interested in doing it, because they have, once you get the license, they have positions at the police department, the fire station, the news station, all kinds of things you could do with that kind of photography, for sure. Even real estate agencies, drones now.
Yeah. I mean, drones has come a long, long way.
They really have. And they're fancy, and they look like they're just little robots.
Yeah, especially, it's pretty cool, during 4th of July, that drone show off of 21 by A&M. Oh, they do it. Yeah. They did a drone show, or they did it the past couple of years, but they have fireworks and a drone show. It was pretty cool how they can coordinate, you know, all the colors. And like, I don't know how many drones there are, like 50 to 100 of them, maybe, give or take.
I don't know how they operated that. I saw a video of it on the news, but I didn't get to see it in person, and it just looks very freaky.
Right? It can be, but I'm like, man, I would love to do that. But the little cheap ones you get from Walmart, I can't even fly, so I don't even attempt it.
Yeah, my son has one of those.
Yeah, my daughter has one of the airplane ones where you get from like Five Below, and
she
could fly it, but you know, the only thing that sucks about the cheap ones is the battery is, it's not as long as, I mean, the drones, like the expensive ones, the batteries aren't long, but these are even shorter than those.
Yeah, I remember, now that you say that, I'm thinking about it. I was really interested in getting a GoPro drone. They called it a Spark. And for a long time, I was using my GoPro before I even bought a camera, just because I like taking pictures, you know, anyway, before I wanted to really, really get into it. And the GoPro was easy for me, and I think I had like the first GoPro ever made. And then eventually I got the I think it was like the Hero 6, and that was about the time I was interested in getting a drone. And the price of that thing was just, I think back in 2014, 15, it was like $1,200, and I just couldn't even like fathom in my head, like, oh my gosh, that's outrageous. And then you have to attach your GoPro to it. But the thing about that is that the GoPro batteries are absolutely ridiculous. They do not keep a charge. I don't care how many people sing the GoPro praises. They do not last. Even the new GoPros, their batteries, they give you like, I don't know, 30 minutes of charge, maybe at the most. And it's kind of sucky, especially for those people putting their cameras or whatever on time lapse, because then you're sitting there waiting for a time lapse and it's going to die in like 10 minutes and you don't have enough time left for your trip.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of batteries, which are also expensive. I could go on about this.
It's funny you say that, because I don't have a GoPro. I have one of those DJI. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know which, or the Osmo Action one, and it's rechargeable, so that's good. But I always wondered that, you know, those people you see on TikTok, you know, the ones that go with the GoPros and they do like the adventure going up that mountain, or I've seen
whatever they're doing. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, or I've seen two guys on a water ski, and they went down the river to go to another side or something. It will take them like 5 days. I'm like, how long does this damn battery last?
It don't last that long. They had to have like 8 of them charged beforehand.
Right? One's charging, the other one's playing, the other one's playing, the other one's charging.
Oh, yeah. I think I went on a trip. I think, I'm trying to think of where I went. My husband went with me, and I was teaching him how to use the GoPro, because he kind of likes to take pictures too, but he's not like fully invested like I am or anything. And I remember bringing all the ports for the chargers. I had two ports, and there was two batteries in each of them. And he's like, this is a little extreme. Do you think you're taking too many batteries? And I'm like, no, I am not.
Nope. You'll learn.
Not enough. And sure enough, it did not last, those 8 batteries I brought.
Good God.
Yeah, 8.
I will say about this, though, the GoPro or the DJI I use, I like to use it for the time lapse, like you were talking about. Like how you can get about 20, 30 minutes right before, you know, it's a sunset, but right before the actual sun really goes away. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty cool time lapse to do.
Yeah, that is cool. I haven't done a time lapse in a long time. Last time I tried to do a time lapse on my actual camera, my DSLR, that is something I got to learn more about. That was not fun trying to piece that all together on the computer.
I know you do a lot of landscape and I guess you can say portrait. Have you ever tried long exposure?
Okay, so me and long exposure do not get along, but I have always wanted to be proficient in it. I don't have the patience. I also don't have I have the camera for it. I get, because I've always was interested in astrology and things like that, like nighttime captures, you know, the stars and stuff. What do they call it? They call it astrophotography. And I was always interested in that. My sister's she's actually learning how to do that right now. She takes a lot of she does a lot of programs online where she'll learn a lot of different things, and she follows people on YouTube that teach you how to do it. But I need to have a I think a stopper or something for my camera, or a timer where you click it and then it'll just take repeated pictures.
See, I tried. I have tried when I lived out in Colorado. I tried that the stars, but I can never get that the right settings. But with the long exposure, like when you're in the middle of Colorado and it's pitch black, and the 18-wheeler that's lit up that comes by, and you get that long exposure, you should really try that. That is pretty awesome.
Is it like the is it like the flow of the lights on the truck or car? I'm trying to think of, like, you know, you see those cool cityscapes where the cars are zooming in and out of traffic, and it's like
Yes.
it's just looks cool. It looks like a laser almost.
Yes. If you go through my Instagram page, I've done a couple of them, and you can see what I'm talking about. And I think I usually do it on the like I said, 2818 or trying to think, Bearcrest.
Oh, Briarcrest?
Yeah, well, same thing. I'm up from I'm from Houston. I'm still my wife is from around here. I'm still learning. I've been here in Bryan for a couple a year, about a year.
Oh,
So
wow.
I'm still
You're
learning. Yeah,
new.
I'm very new.
Goodness, you got a lot to find around here. You need to go look at Creek Nature Center in College Station. I bet you'd really like it out there.
I'll definitely have to check that. I'm sure my wife knows where it's at, but I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, for sure. She probably does. Yeah, no, I haven't tried log exposure, but I've always been interested in it, and I'd love to capture lightning or, you know, constellations and stuff, but that just seems impossible.
You can do it on your phone. I've done it on my
Yes,
phone
I
before.
have too, actually. I have also done it on my phone as well, and I was surprised at how easy that was.
It's easier than your camera.
Oh yeah, these iPhones, man. Or well, I have an iPhone. I don't know about you, but my iPhone takes amazing pictures.
I tell you what, I have an Android, but it's a where's my phone? It's a the new one, 22 Ultra.
You know, I've heard a lot of good things about the quality of that camera.
Yes, I feel I had an iPhone 12 and I went to the Android, and I feel like this camera is better than iPhone 12. I don't know about the 13, but I
Oh, I think they're pretty. Yeah, I think I've seen pictures of them, and I've heard a lot of about them. And a lot of people actually, I feel like are starting photographers anyway, are starting to switch to Android lately.
I feel a lot of people are that are starting out start with, I mean, well, everybody does. You know, when you go out on a field trip or a trip with your family or whatever, they take pictures with their phones. It's easier to get to, you know, it's just in your pocket. You can pull it out, take a picture of your husband and your kids, and just put it back.
Yeah.
Instead of taking your big camera and you know you have to take it out of the bag, take out the lens cap, get it ready, focus and everything, it's a hell of a lot much quicker.
Oh yeah, it's oh gosh, yes. My sister was talking about the other day. She was talking about getting the trading in her equipment, which my sister has. I mean, you need to talk to her. She would probably love to be on your podcast, but she has an enormous amount of equipment. It's like heaven. And when I see her stuff, she's always going on about how she wants to switch from mirrorless to just digital. And I'm like, dude, no. And she forever she always got on to me because I wanted a mirrorless camera. And now she's switched her gears and she's like, you know what? I'm tired of carrying all this crap. It would be so much easier to have a digital, just a regular digital camera. I think there's a Nikon Z something, Z6 or Z7 or something like that. And she had a second shooter for her at a wedding, and this guy, he had it, and she got to play around with the camera, and she was like, this thing is so light and so easy and so nice, and like you don't have to switch lenses all day long. You don't have to carry around this big old bulky mirror camera. It's just crazy the amount of technology lately, I feel like, in the last at least 3 years. how they make it easier.
I believe they're making it so much easier, and I don't know, but I feel like all that technology they take in these new cameras, it is so cool how they put it in our smartphones.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's nice, especially for people with, like you were saying, with people with kids and families who just want to take pictures of their kids. And even when you go to print out a phone picture now, they're actually okay looking. They're not that bad.
Yes, they're not all fuzzy like they used to be.
No, and I mean, you know, like with my, I kind of like the fact that I have my iPhone and my MacBook, because whenever I download my pictures, it's nice because when you send your pictures or you airdrop them or whatever you do, if you send them to your phone, since you're keeping them on the same archetype, their quality stays. Whereas yes, if you're on a different, you know, situation, and I'm not saying Android particularly, but, you know, a Dell or a Mac, or not a Mac, a PC, they don't keep the quality.
I do believe that. And I'm going to start paying attention, because I can't do that now with my iPad and my Android. I usually send what I want to edit on my, whatever picture I take on my Android to my tablet or iPad. I usually email it to my iPad so I can edit on my iPad and just email it back. I don't really see a difference in the quality, but I'm going to start paying attention to that. That's a good idea.
Oh yeah. I think that's the only reason I'll be honest, that's like the only reason I stick with my Apple products, just because when you're sending the back and forth, even by AirDrop, the quality doesn't diminish. And I can always tell when, okay, so I'll have a family and I'll take their pictures, and every single time I tell them, you guys have got to download these to your computer. If you're sitting there and you download them to your phone, the quality will not keep, and people will be questioning, well, why does their pictures look so blurry? Is that a photographer? No, it's because you did not download these images to your computer.
You have to listen to your photographer.
Yes, it's even in the clause I have when I send out contracts. I'm like, hey, guys, make sure you're downloading this to keep it quality. It's important. Even if you're going to send them off to get, you know, printed, you got to keep that quality up. It's like one of my biggest pet peeves.
Right. So, what do you think has improved since you started doing photography, and what do you think still needs to be improved?
For me personally, or just with the...
Both.
Well, for me personally, I feel like I kind of, you know, teeter on that line between I just love nature and taking pictures of people is fun and all, but I wish that there was like a way I can incorporate more of nature in my pictures. So for me, that would be, you know, being able to travel somewhere like Colorado, where I could take pictures of people in the mountains. I feel like, you know, in our area, yes, our area is beautiful, but there's not like this big giant, you know, landmark, you know, that big landmark. I feel like mountains and giant trees and things like that, I wish I could do more of that. And I actually was going to start doing, I have a session tomorrow if the rain don't kill it. But I was telling the client, I was like, you know, I'm really into these trees over here in this area. I don't know if you know where Indian Lakes is.
No, I never heard of that.
It's a community off of William D. Fitch. It's like a homes. And I was driving through the other day, because I have to drive through there sometimes when I'm in that location to get back to my house. I don't live in Indian Lakes, but I have to drive through it sometimes. And I noticed that some of the trees were changing leaves, and I immediately was like, oh my gosh, I got to get the fall minis out. And so this would be the perfect time to like capitalize on the leaves changing. So when I thought that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to actually, instead of like getting up close and personal with people in their faces, I'm really going to try to focus on getting more of like the big picture. Like, let's get these people in here and take more landscapes, but have your pictures in landscape, you know, not just you personally, but that kind of, sorry, my phone's going off. So yeah, that's something. And as far as equipment changing, like I said earlier, I think mirrorless cameras are really in right now, and people are spending buku's amounts of money on these things. I will not have money for that, but I will stick with my my camera that's big and bulky as of now, and it hasn't given me any grief so far. So, yeah.
What the? I know you want the hills. Have you ever been out to the hill country?
Oh yes, oh yes. I haven't been in a while since I had our last baby. We had two babies back to back. It was like boom, boom. So I haven't been able to really go anywhere. I'm headed to Maine with my sister the last day of September. I am obsessed with the East Coast. Like, I am obsessed. If I could live there, if I could somehow convince my husband to leave Texas, I would. that ain't gonna happen there. And he's from California, but he don't tell people that. He's like, oh, I'm not from there. What are you talking about? I'm really excited about that because of the mountains and stuff. But yes, the hill country in Texas is beautiful. I just haven't had the opportunity to get out there more, and I really need to.
We went to Austin, and the hotel we stayed at had a beautiful, like a kind of a top of the tree. It was kind of taller than everything, and you could kind of see over the top of the trees and stuff. It was pretty cool out there too. I will say Austin does have, I haven't ventured off of much around Austin, but I will say Austin would be on my list to go up there to take some good landscape pictures.
You should definitely do that as soon as you get the opportunity. There's like Bull Creek, which is beautiful. McKinney Falls State Park is beautiful, but watch out for rattlesnakes.
I don't like the snakes.
Me either. I encountered one there one time on a hike with a few friends, and I lost my ever-living mind. And then, I know, but it's still beautiful. The falls are really pretty. Actually, around March is probably the best time. These poppy flowers that pop up around the blue bonnets, and it's crazy because you're like, where the heck are these poppies coming from?
Right.
You know, this until I went over there, just happenstance to be there at the same time that the poppies were growing in McKinney Falls.
Going to Bastrop on 21, you get to go through
this pretty trees.
Yes. Those, I think it's part of a natural forest or something.
Yeah, I think you're right. That sounds right. They're, I think so. Yeah.
The only thing is, to get one of those pictures, you have to go like during the holidays, and it's really not even. My wife doesn't like when I do it, but I will stand in the middle of the road to get a picture. And she hates it. She's always going to be worried about me, but I will stand in the middle of the road to get that picture that I want. And she's always telling me, don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to get ran over. You're going to get hurt. Okay, I understand that. But it's that picture that I want. And that's the only way I'm going to get the picture.
I totally feel that. My husband had a heart attack. We went up to California to visit his family. And I'm going to oust myself. I'm really bad about going places that I absolutely should not be going to get a shot. Anything to do to get the shot, I'm going to do it. I don't care. I'm going to do it. I was standing on the left. I think my son was 8 at the time. He's 10 now, but no, he was like 7, maybe 6, 7. It was a few years ago. And, they both were like, quit getting close to the sledge. And I got this picture, and it was crazy. I don't even know how I captured it. I honestly don't know, because I was fearful of falling off of the sledge. But I got it. And my husband immediately grabbed my arm. He's like, okay, we're going to go now. You need to get down. And I don't care. I'm fearless when it comes to that.
It is fearless, but I feel like it's like you're determined and all your focus is on getting that picture.
Yeah, because it's... Yeah.
And everything, I mean, there could be snakes around you and everything, but you're trying to get that picture, and you're determined and focused, mm-hmm. so focused on the camera and on what's going on, where you're trying to get that picture. And I mean, there could be cars zooming past you or whatever, but that's, yeah. We went to Grapeland, Texas one time with my wife and everything, and I drove. We don't live far from the highway, or the barn ain't far from the highway. And I took the mule down there, and I asked her, I was like, you want to go? She goes, no, I'll stay up there. I was like, all right. Well, I literally got in the middle. Like, there's a margin you know, the two sides and everything. And I got in the middle to get my landscape pictures. And when I went back up there, I'm always excited when I see something that I did, and it's like, oh, this is cool. I got to show her. Well, I'll show her. And she goes, where were you at? I was like, on the road. And she was like, good God. If something like that doesn't kill me, she's going to eventually.
I hear that. I have a little story. When we went to Scotland, which this is the first time I ever left America ever, and it was a big deal that we got to go. It was like the most miracle happenstance thing that ever happened. Me and my husband, when we got to go, because I'm Scottish and I'm very into my heritage, and I always wanted to go, and I'm obsessed with Outlander as well. I don't know if you know that show. And the books and just everything. It's like, I love it. And we miraculously got to go on this trip, just pure miracle. But when we got there, it was just life changing. And we went to this, it was called Loch Moidart. And there was this abandoned castle on the loch. Well, it was, again, one of those crazy things that just happens. On our drive there, it said that you might not be able to get into the castle or get to the castle because the tide might be up. Well, we were, you know, like saying our little prayers and hoping the whole time we're there that the tide would be down. And as we got there, and it was as dry as a bone, the tide was completely down. And we were the only people there. It was just me and my husband. And I don't know how we got this lucky. That whole trip was just like pure luck. But I saw an opening because you couldn't get into the castle. You would have to have, like, I don't know, somehow unlocked all the armor it had around it. Well, I saw a little window open, but the problem was it was hanging off of a cliff. It had like a 30 to 50 feet tall. And then you got to imagine like a two-story cliff under that 30 to 40 feet to get this window. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to climb up there and I'm going to do it. And he's like, you can go to prison. We can go to jail. And I'm like, well, you're not going anywhere. I'm going to climb in there. And the whole time he's like just cussing it up. I can hear him. And I'm climbing up this thing. And I got in there. I have a video of it and everything. I got in there. I took a video. There's like signs all over the castle. Don't come in here. Don't do this. Don't do that. And I'm like, I got to do it. And I did. I got in there. I took pictures. And it was insanely scary because that drop, I was thinking, if I would have fallen, it would have really been bad. And now that I look back on it, I'm like, that was really stupid. That was so stupid of me to do that. But hey, you know what? I got a picture that I'll never forget for the rest of my life. So that's how I look at it.
You blow that darn picture up and put it in your living room.
I actually did. I actually did. I have several pictures from Scotland that are all over our house. There was two of them in my son's, the baby room. And people will ask, hey, where'd you get this? And I'll tell them, I freaking took that picture. My first ever with my camera. And that was the first time I even got a camera. So it was all new to me. I didn't even know what I was doing with the camera. I just had to get the picture.
Right. What have you learned since you started doing photography?
Oh, so much. So much. In terms of the camera itself, trying to get to use my camera manually has been a great challenge for me. ISO and, you know, distance and just all those different things, you know, that you have to use to capture something manually is a lot goes into it that I don't think people realize. And you see people get cameras and they're like, oh, we're going to leave it on automatic and we're going to do the best we can. But learning the manual part, I have to say I've come a long way in 3 years. So I'm pretty proud of myself for that. And also lenses. Well, first, I had a fixed lens. I didn't care about that kind of thing. You know, I was just trying to capture one thing. But now that I know the difference between lenses, I can actually, you know, do a broader picture of what I want. And also learning how to talk to people again. because I'm a recluse. I read my books. I stay inside and take care of my kids, and I don't do nothing. But whenever I have to get out of the house, I actually have to conversate with people who are paying me.
Good thing that you do more landscape than mess with the portraits.
Oh yeah, but sometimes my sister, she's a wedding photographer in Waco now. She was doing families and things like that for forever, and now she's exclusively a wedding photographer. She'll call me, "Hey, I need a second shooter for this wedding," and I'm like, "Ugh, I love you so much, but please don't make me do this." Because I will have to say, wedding photographers do not. I mean, you'll see their outrageous amounts. They deserve it. I the most extensive photography you can get into is wedding photography. So much goes into it. People don't understand, and when you look at the prices of these people, you know, so and so's paying $3,500 for 12 hours. You know, that is very much earned because not only are they editing when they're done with, you know, taking them all, they are on their feet for 12 hours. They are basically running around the entire day trying to capture your pictures. And if she can't capture, you know, the brides or the bridesmaids and all at one time, I'm over there capturing the groomsmen and things going on behind the scenes with parents. You know, it's very extensive. I don't think people understand even the littlest amount of that goes into wedding photography.
I tell you what, I've done one wedding.
Oh, really?
And I won't do another one. It's just so much. Where, like you said, you know, yes, it was a small wedding, but it was like, all right, I have to do the bridesmaids. I have to do the bride. I have to get those pictures for them. I have to, the groom comes, the groomsmen come out. I have to get pictures of them. And then, you know, during the reception, you know, you want to get everybody, like, you know, you want to get the groom's reaction when the bride comes down, or, you know, the brother, the best man's, the brother in the wedding I went to, and you want to get his reaction, and then you want to try to get the bride. By the time you get the reaction, you know, the perfect one, you try to turn around, the bride's already halfway down the darn aisle, and then it's just a lot of work. I mean, if you do, the more you do it, the more you'll get comfortable with it, but I think I'm going to stick with landscape.
Yeah, I saw that you did some pictures of what is it called, what are those things called, those vape things?
Yes, a local vape shop, Smokeville.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was really neat how you set it up. I was really impressed with that. It looks, you know, what do they call it? It's called it's a particular photography. Merchandise photography? No, that doesn't sound right.
I know what you're talking about. I think it's product photography.
Yeah, that's really neat. I think I never really thought anything about that, but I was like, now I want to try to do something like that.
It's
product can I take pictures of?
It's always something, you know. That's why, like, in the beginning, when I first started dating my wife, and, you know, I would always call myself a landscape photographer, and she was like, "Well, why don't you say you're a freelance photographer? So you're not just doing something, you know, not just doing portrait, or you're just not a wedding photographer. You're not a product photographer. You're a freelance where you do a little bit of everything." So yeah, that's why I see on my bio or whatever, I'm a freelance photographer. I just can't settle with doing one. I guess I get burnt out.
Oh yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. Where, you know, you get burnt out of doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I've literally got burnt out when we let out Caldwell. I got burnt out and I didn't pick up a camera, not even with my phone, I don't think, for at least a good 3 to 6 months, where I didn't take no pictures. No, probably wasn't that long, but like, I didn't take no pictures for a while, and all of a sudden it'll just pick back up. So I kind of got burnt out a little easy on that.
Burnout's pretty easy to get, go through when you're doing photography. It's you have to always be inspired, and that's kind of hard when you're doing this monotonous everyday routine. You have to go to work, you got to do this, you got to do that, take care of your kids, and then you're and then you've forgotten, oh, my camera is just sitting there. So I totally get the burnout. I think that's why my sister sticks mainly to weddings. If she's inspired by weddings, and that's what makes her happy. So she doesn't really do family much anymore.
Yes. My niece, my oldest niece, she at one point wanted to do photography, and I think my sister-in-law got her one, a camera, or she asked for a camera, but she didn't get it. I don't know. But and then she would always come over when we lived in Caldwell. We probably lived like a couple hundred feet away from each other, so she would always come to my house. Hey, you want to do a photo shoot? Hey, you want to do this? Uh-huh. Yeah, so that's where I got most of my practice from, was from her.
Oh, that's fun. Cool. When were you living in Caldwell?
I lived in Caldwell for, I think, a couple years.
My husband worked in Caldwell for a while at Halliburton there, the yard there.
Really?
Yes, he left as soon as he could, though. he's working for a company in Midland now, but he's always going on and on about the stars out there.
I'm telling you, it's very beautiful out there. One weekend when you're not busy or with your clients or anything, you should come out. I can meet you out there, and there's a feed place, like when you're going on 21 to 36.
Yeah.
And before that first bridge right there, there's a feed place on the left hand side.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I took, I would stay out there for a couple hours, but I would take long exposure right there.
Oh, cool. Wow. Yeah. That actually sounds, I haven't been out there in years. But I just hear the good things about the stars.
I haven't took a picture. I can never get my camera settings right to take pictures of stars, even with my phone. I can't. So I don't even try it no more. The moon, I can take pictures with the phone with the moon, but not my camera. I can never get the camera to the right settings on my camera. My phone, it's easy. You just point and shoot.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I don't know about your phone, but my phone actually has like an automatic long exposure in it. It's really neat. You just like tap it, and it takes its like a series of pictures very slowly, and you could see it load itself, and then it'll keep it and then edit it. It's kind of weird, and then it'll edit itself, and then that's the picture you get. I'm like, wow, this is impressive. But I don't like the fact that it puts it. I feel like me, it's kind of like putting a filter on it, and I didn't ask it to do that, so that's kind of a frustrating thing. I just buy
phone. Your phone should have, it's called a night mode.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
And you could take pictures with that for the, like what I was talking about, the long exposure. Yeah. The only thing I don't like about that is you can't really set how long the long exposure is going to last. Like on your camera, you can probably have it for, 15, 30 seconds up to a minute. On the phone, it's more like 2 seconds, 3 seconds, like up to 10 seconds. And I feel like that 10 seconds, even though it's 10 seconds, is still not long enough.
No, it's not. But, even if you bring it. Okay, so on the iPhone, there's an editing setting you have now on there. And basically, if you go in there and you just bring down the contrast and you bring down the exposure, sometimes things will pop up on there that you didn't see when you first captured the picture.
Yes.
It was really awesome because it actually is doing what it's supposed to do. But it's neat what you could do with your phone.
On Instagram, there's a I think it's called Photo Tips or something, and they take a lot of photos with their iPhone. I think it's iPhones, but there's one where they show you, don't pose them this way, pose them this way, but they'll, like when you focus, you push on the screen and you can focus and you can bring the little light, the exposure down. Just with that, you can bring it up high or down low.
Oh,
and
I didn't know you could do that.
There's a lot of stuff I don't know, but still don't know about this damn phone.
I'm finding out everything every day. My cousin, she has been taking pictures, and I'm like, you're taking pictures so cute. She said, I think she's actually following that page you were talking about. She said, I follow this Instagram page where it teaches you how to take the best iPhone pictures. And I'm like, that is awesome that people are doing that. Like, that's great. Now you have these quality pictures right from your phone.
That, and I wish we had that when I was a kid.
Yeah, absolutely. That would have been something. But all I remember is my mom putting a freaking camera in our faces. Even if it, I don't remember, I remember the VHS tape cameras. I don't do videos, but I don't know what those are called. The camera.
Shoot. Yeah, and remember the old, like the throwaway cameras
where you can get. Yes.
Well, I found one. My granny sent one up here with me, and I found it was in my daughter's room, and I found it again, and she was like, here. And I was like, what the hell? I was like, oh, okay. And I looked on there, and it had my granny's old phone number and where my dad used to live before he moved into Cyprus, that number. But there was no area code on it. That's how old it was.
That's hilarious. Actually, that's funny you mentioned that, because I had to go. My son, he had a field trip, and this was in April. And he was going to some cavern, and I'm trying to explain to him that even if you take these pictures, they're not going to be that great of quality with a throwaway camera. And I managed to find a Kodak throwaway camera, and I found it at Walgreens. It was the last one left, and it was freaking waterproof, so it was more expensive and ridiculous. And I went to go- I'm sorry, this makes me laugh. I went to take the camera in to get the pictures developed. I have not gotten actual film developed in literal 10 plus years. And I'm standing there waiting to talk to the lady. She goes, oh, you just put your name on this bag and your phone number, and we'll get it developed. It takes 2 weeks. I'm laughing. I'm like, it takes 2 weeks? What are you talking about? They used to be 24 hours. And now you can't do it in the store. You have to put it in this little box, and they send it off for 2 weeks. And they called me, sure enough, in 2 weeks, the film's ready. I was just blown away by that.
I remember when, in not 2 weeks, but they would, you know, you take it up like to Eckerd's, or now it's CBS. And you take it in there, and they're like, okay, well, you know, come back in, you know, 3 or 4 hours, and we'll have it ready. I haven't got film developed in a long time, so I don't know what to say about that.
I laughed. I actually immediately got in the car and called my mother, because my mom would be the one to send me to go get the film developed. I'd drive over to Walgreens right down the corner and get it developed. They say, oh, we'll have it in an hour. And it never even took an hour. It took like 35, 45 minutes. And I told her about it, and she just laughed and laughed. And she goes, well, that's just how it is these days. And I think it has something to do, the reason they don't have the machines anymore at the actual store is because maybe there something is hazardous to people nowadays, like x-rays or some shit. I don't know. Oh, sorry. But stuff like that. It just blew my mind, and it was a very nostalgic situation for me.
I don't know, but I'm sure that there's around here or down in Houston, or I think there's a actual photo shop, not like a Photoshop, but like a camera place up in Austin, and I'm sure that that can do that.
Yes, actually, yeah, I know what you're talking about. My sister goes through them a lot. That there's two places in Austin, but one's more renowned than the other one. I can't recall what the name of them are, but yeah, if you get like those Fujifilm cameras, those things are fancy.
Yes.
The newer ones that take videos, those things are freaking like, wow, I just can't even fathom them. But the film Fuji cameras I'm talking about, the ones that are just very basic, you just basically have to mess with the settings real quick and then capture an image. Austin is actually the only place you can send those film to nowadays.
I think it's Precision Camera and Video.
Yeah, that's it. Precision. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, they fixed a few of my lenses before.
I actually want to go down there and, like, I have a Canon T-Rebel 6. It's an older camera. Oh, but okay. I actually want to go down there and see if I can. They rent out lenses and cameras and stuff. I want to just rent a lens, and I want to, just for the weekend, you can pay so much for like 2 or 3 days or whatever, and rent one out and just see how, how that's different from the ones I'm using.
Yeah, that's a, my sister will look at, okay, so I have a Nikon. There is a difference actually. I see it now. I didn't before when I didn't know much, but there is a difference between looking at a lens. Okay, so I have Nikkor lenses. Those are all Nikon lenses. But if you look at my sister, she uses oh, what's it called? She uses what is the, it's a different brand of lens. Not Nikkor, and it's not Canon because she doesn't have a Canon. It's Nikon. Sigma uses Sigma lenses, and she swears by them. She swears there's a difference. And now that she's shown me, there is a little bit of, I can see it. There's a difference in quality. Maybe not an enormous difference, but those Sigma cameras, don't downplay them. They actually are badass for their price. They are. They're pretty good lenses.
They're worth the money.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Nikkor lenses are going to be more expensive, but and I didn't purposefully buy Nikon lenses. I just happened to think in my head at the time before I did anything that that's what had to go on my camera. I didn't know there were other lenses that could be made for your cameras. What's there's another one too. It's called like. I keep thinking Pentax, but that's a film camera. There's another one that starts with a P or something. That's a different brand of lens for Canon and Nikon. And but I don't know. But the Sigma lenses, they're cheaper. But man, I'll tell you what, they hold their quality for certain.
Huh, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, absolutely. They are a cheaper brand, but they are very good. I highly would recommend a Sigma lens.
So, what do you use to edit your pictures?
I use Lightroom on the computer. I use Lightroom, and that's the only thing I know how to use because that's what I was taught by my sister. And I have presets, but sometimes I fiddle it with it, pictures, and make my own, edit colors, whatever. So.
If you ever, it's kind of like Photoshop, but it's kind of not. There's an app on iOS called Photo Leap.
Photo leap.
F or F, Photoleap.
Okay. I don't know what that is. I haven't heard of it.
It's kind of like I said, it's kind of like Photoshop.
I'm about to look it up.
I think it's a free app. I can't remember. I've been using it for so long, but that's what I use on my iPad.
Oh, okay. I have a friend that edits on her iPad all the time, and I wondered, she doesn't have Lightroom, and I was wondering what she was using.
Oh, I use Lightroom too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it might be this photo leap thing. I've never heard of it, but that sounds neat. It would be nice to not have to freaking pay for presets because when you're a professional, like not professional, I don't like that word. When you're taking pictures for clients and they're like, I don't have a specific style. I'm really about what the customer wants. So if they want a dark and moody edit, I'll do that. If they want a bright and light and airy edit, I'll do that. But if, I have different presets from different companies, and at the end of the day, I've used it so much, I'm like, you know what? I can make my own freaking presets. This is ridiculous. Don't spend $100 on presets when you just need to learn how to use your Lightroom.
Exactly. And I'm sure they have classes you can take online.
Oh yeah, there's so much free things out there for people to use. Absolutely. I like a Frono on YouTube.
Oh, I've seen him.
My sister and I are really into that guy. I just his personality is funny and he's very knowledgeable and he talks to you like you're not dumb. And like
Yeah.
I hate the stigma of which there are some photographers around here who are like that, which is really sad. But just not good enough, or you don't need to learn how to do this. There are people who are professional. You know, I am not a professional. I learned this completely on my own. Like, everything I know about my camera was because of YouTube or TikTok or Instagram or just following people and going around and following other photographers who taught me so much. You know, it was never, and none of the people that taught me anything, my sister and some of her friends who are photographers in the Waco area, they never belittled me. They never made me feel like, you know, we'll just leave this to these people, you know, like,
oh yeah,
professionals that have a college education and all these classes. No, you can pick this up and do this on your own. And I'm always telling clients, if you get a camera, you come to me and I will teach you everything I know. Please.
And if I can't teach you, Google and YouTube will be your best friends.
Absolutely. I had a friend that was messaging me questions, and I was like, you know what, let's get together on Saturday, let's go to the park, and I'm gonna sit there and I'm gonna teach you. Because she said, I use automatic all the time, but I really like to understand how to use manual. And I said, okay, let's do it. Like, I'm gonna sit you down and I'm gonna give you this chart, and you need to study it and look at it and understand the ISO and, you know, the f-stop and all these things. And she was like, okay, and she did. She got the hang of it pretty good.
That's awesome. That's one thing I do like, is, you know, and it's not just with the camera part, but even with the iPhones, where I know in the newer ones, you know, you can do so much with them other than, like, before, like, in, you know, iPhone 10. And, you know, I'll go, you know, hey, you know, if you take a selfie, you know, if you push this button, you know, it widens the lens on the front. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that. Or, if, you know, I can go into detail, like more detail into it, but I know they're not into the photography side of it, you know?
Yes, I understand. This is like me trying to explain this to my husband. bless his heart. He really tries to understand. I love him. I really love him for it, because he wants to help me take pictures of me. There's like all these pictures of my husband and my children, but like none of me. It's how it be.
Maybe he'll surprise you.
Oh, he does. He does surprise me sometimes. He will get the GoPro and take it out and play with it. And he knows how to use that thing now. He actually knows how to use it pretty good. And then I'll give him my camera and he'll say, you know what, I'm going to keep this one and we're going to buy you a new one. And I'm like, I'm not buying a new camera. I like my camera. but he's like, I want to learn how to use it, or I want to learn how to do this. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. Nothing can be my own. But that's okay. he does pretty good for putting it on automatic for him. And then he's like, don't take it off automatic. I want to learn.
Just buy him the same camera you have.
Gosh, I got the best deal on that camera. I don't think the guy understood the worth of what he had, and I didn't either. So I basically stole my camera from that guy. Poor guy. I don't know if he knew. And my sister, I got the camera, and it was my Nikon D700, and I got it from the guy, and I immediately went to her house after I bought the camera, and she's just like, how much did you pay for this? And I'm like, you know, this amount. And she's like, you stole this from this man. You need to call him back or give him more money. And I'm like, I'm not saying shit.
Heck no.
No way. He's the one that sold it to me. I got very lucky.
Man, there's some, it's not a photography related, but there's so many stories I got about that. I can't say here.
Yeah. Facebook Marketplace is, yeah.
That's cool. Speaking of that, if somebody was looking into getting into doing photography and looking to buy a new camera or in some gear, or just say a camera and some gear, would you recommend them buy a new camera and new gear, or used camera and used gear?
Used all the way. Absolutely used. Yeah. I think, you know, again, with going back to people and the pressure of it all, I think people think they need new equipment to get the best quality, but that's absolutely not true. I will always buy used products. Not only are they broken in, but they basically, some people don't know what they have and they get rid of it because they don't know how to use it, and it's barely even used. So buying used is definitely the way to go. Just don't buy like something like where the battery's falling out or the lens won't connect.
Right.
Click in or anything. That wouldn't be good, but yeah.
I would also buy what you can in your budget.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
And just because you see, anybody listening, if you see like a TikTok person, you know, using this camera and, you know, it's all fancy and stuff, and you want to learn, you know, you're new to it and you want to learn, do photography, and you're thinking, oh, that camera is what making that photographer. It's the other way around.
That's such a misconception. This is why this is art.
You know? Yes.
So you can't, I wish I could preach that to everybody, that it's not the camera that makes the picture. So.
Yes, I actually learned that the hard way. I saw I think it's on TikTok, No Way Jose, and the photography, and he has a Fuji camera.
That guy sounds very familiar to me.
You probably follow him. I know I do.
Yeah, that's why he sounds familiar.
And he had a Fuji camera, and I, you know, used the Canon, and I was like, oh, that's what I want. I want to, maybe if I get that camera, my pictures will come out better. Well, I got the damn camera. I didn't know how to use it. I couldn't figure out how to use the damn thing. So
those Fuji film cameras are quite intense.
They are.
Yeah.
The only reason why I got it was because the camera I use now, the back part of it, where what do you call it? The screen. It doesn't fold out.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I want one because I like to shoot down low. And I was like, I want one so I can see what I'm doing and I don't have to lay on the lay on the ground to see what I'm doing. So
you can like flip it out and look at it.
Yes.
Oh, I hear you.
And so that's the reason I bought it. And I got it. And I got a couple good shots out of it. But I was like, all right, well, that's a good camera. I do like it, but that's too advanced for me.
Yeah, I think my first encounter with a Fujifilm camera was I was like, well, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do with this thing. And my sister was sitting there playing with it like, oh, this thing is awesome. And I'm like, I don't even know anything.
Exactly.
What do I do with this? I don't understand. It's hard to... And like somebody can give me a Canon and I can figure it out pretty easily. Actually, that happened to me the other day. Somebody gave me their Canon camera and it was easy to navigate because you just, you know, the basics, you know, ISO, f-stop, like just use your common sense of it to find the buttons and everything. But if somebody hands me like any kind of thing to take videos with, I'm like, what do I do? I don't understand this thing.
Just push the red button and it turns, the video starts and off.
yeah, those videographers that sometimes we encounter videographers, they're the ones that operate the drones and do all this crazy stuff and have all these weird like equipment. It's just nuts, and I'm always intrigued, but I'm like, you know what, I'll keep that at a distance. I'm not interested in that.
Right. I actually bought another camera, a Canon, but it's one of those point and shoot ones. It's PowerShot S10 IS, I guess, I don't know, but it's the one of those where the back part, the screen part, folds out. You know, you can flip it around to do the videos and stuff like that. And that's the only reason why I have it, is because the screen pops out. And I can't afford a new Canon camera.
Yeah, I hear you. My battery is like the spot where I put my battery into my camera, it keeps getting loose. So the other day I noticed, and I was taking pictures, the camera will completely turn off. And I'm like in the middle of a session. I'm like, oh crap. Give me a second. I got it. And I'm like, my husband's like, why don't you try to figure out how to keep the battery in there? And I'm like, I don't know. I'll just hold it. I'll just hold it in the camera. It'll be okay.
Can you imagine being in the middle of a session and that, you know, that you're shooting for a family and all of a sudden your battery pops out? Like, oh, hold on, I gotta replace this duct tape real quick.
Yeah, well, you know what, you gotta do what you gotta do. Cameras are expensive.
Exactly.
I'm not trying to buy a new camera. There's just no, not the one I have. That's ridiculous. And actually, if I were to buy a new camera and I had the money to buy a new camera, I'd probably get all antsy and want to buy something fancier. So that ain't gonna happen.
Is that, yeah, I would love to, but one, my wife wouldn't let me.
I'm that wife. I'm the wife.
So, right. So if you weren't taking, you know, landscape pictures or the portrait pictures, what kind of photography do you think you would be taking, or do you think you would be doing photography at all?
I think I would be doing photography, but I would not. I mean, yeah, I think I would still pick it up. I think so in my head, just because I just take pictures of my phone all day long. So, yeah, I'd be doing it. But if I had the choice to do any type of photography, it'd be like journalism photography or travel photography. You know, like what do you call them? Where they go out in the world and they explore like lions and tigers and take pictures and journal about it, like National Geographic type. I just love to do that because I like writing and I like reading. And so that's intriguing to me. I'm really interested in blogs and photography, you know, blogs. So yeah, I actually have a blog and I was doing it for a while, but I had started my kids. I have a really old one, and then I had two babies back to back. So I lost interest because it was hard for me to keep up with writing all the time. I was taking care of babies, and I'm still taking care of babies. So for me, it's like I had to put a stop to that for a little bit. So I hope to get back to it someday. I'm going to keep my domain for it for sure. I'd like to get back to it. And then also my Instagram got hacked. My Instagram worked really hard on. So that was not fun. I lost all of my things, all my pictures, all of my blog stuff. It was just a nightmare.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, it was. It was devastating, actually, because I worked really hard to get the following and to get the people that I was interested in. And also I lost contacts with people because this person that hacked my Instagram actually ended up blocking my new Instagram. So there's like no way to get a hold of this guy. My husband tried, and then he would like block all the people. It was weird. It was a very weird situation. So yeah, that was, yeah.
That's just horrible, people doing that.
It is. It is awful. So protect your stuff with the, you know, the extra security thing.
Yes.
I needed an authenticator, and I didn't have that, but now I do. I have it at all in all of my accounts.
Yeah, that's a good investment right there.
For sure.
So do you have any tips for anyone that's wanting to start doing photography or wanting to get into photography?
Yeah, I have a few. Don't buy the most expensive camera thinking it's the best one. And don't be afraid to play around with the camera when you get it. With me, I was like, oh my god, I don't know what to do with this thing, and I didn't even want to learn because I didn't know what to do. But you know, look up YouTube videos, look up Instagram Reels, TikToks. So many people are out there teaching you how to use a camera. It can be incredibly simple if you allow it to be, and you just use your brain. And yeah, it's also a nice artistic outlet. So if you are feeling frustrated or have depression or anxiety or anything, it's nice to know that you could just take your camera out, capture some things, look at what you took, and be proud of what you did. So yeah, that's my advice. Short and sweet.
Right. So is there anything that you would tell you back when you first started? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do get that. What would I tell myself? You should have started sooner. Yeah, that's what I'd tell myself. You should have done this a long time ago. Think of where you'd be now.
Do you think you would be where you're at when you first started?
No, I don't know, because I kind of took a turn, so maybe not, but that's okay. I'm where I'm supposed to be right now, so.
Awesome. I will put it in the notes of the podcast, but can you let the audience know where else they can find your work?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty simple. You just go to Life and Adventure Photography on Instagram. I believe that's what my Instagram is. I have, like, a lot of Instagram accounts. Sorry, I'm trying to look it up right now. My Instagram is Life and Adventure Photo. That's it, just Life and Adventure Photo. That's my photography that I do work with, portrait photography and natural light photography. And then my personal account is where you see my landscape photos. I don't post my landscape photography on my business photography page. So you would have to go to the two different ones. But basically, Nicole_Townsend_Anderson is my personal Instagram account.
Awesome. Do you do any behind the scenes on TikTok or anything?
I do not. I do not own TikTok because I will never get off of it. So I decided a long time ago I would not do that to myself, and I strictly keep to my Instagram and my blog, which is very occasional. The last blog post was like 2 years ago, so I just go on there to read other people's blogs. But yeah, that's basically what I'm on. Facebook too, but that's for my business page, and that's Life and Adventure Photography.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
No problem. You have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye. It is always amazing getting to talk to different kinds of photographers, especially the local photographers. Like always, I want to leave you with another quote. There will be times when you will be in the field without a camera, and you will see the most gorgeous sunset or the most beautiful scene that you have ever witnessed. Don't be bitter because you can't record it. Sit down, drink it in, enjoy it for what it is. Nowadays, we all have cameras in our pockets or are always in our hands. I am talking about our smartphones. But every once in a while when you just need to stop and don't even pick up your phone and soak in the beautiful sunset or the most beautiful scene you've ever seen, soak it in and take time to rejoice, because you can always come back to that same spot and get that beautiful sunset or that scene later on. Thank you for listening to the No Filter Photography Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss out on any new episodes coming out. Thank y'all.